Just starting. Senior group just in the week is not his labour, nor stage, nor stone. Only part of Venus page Sunday. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins. A grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. When I was in Rome, on several occasions, someone asked our Father what had he been studying. We all remember how our Father used to say that we priests should always find the time to study half an hour's theology every day. Anyway, he kept that up till the very end of his life. And on the day he actually died, Don Alvaro tells us he was studying the Fathers of the Church. But on these occasions in the get-together, when he came in, he invariably answered, "My son, I study the Blessed Trinity." But unfortunately, always the same result. I never seemed to be able to understand it. Now, although this answer has the appearance of being negative, in fact, if you stop and think about it, it demonstrates our beloved Father's hope that one day would come into which he would understand and know the Blessed Trinity, and which we know, of course, is now in our position in heaven, and it has come true. And so it will come true for you, my sisters and brothers, while we're on earth. But, as was the experience of our Father, it is very difficult to understand. However, in this meditation, of course, we're going to try to follow our beloved Father's example. And in the first place, make devotion to the Blessed Trinity our favourite devotion, and realising that if God has called us to be saints, and this means knowing and loving God as he really is, it must mean that it is possible to know and love God in his mystery of his being, the Blessed Trinity. Therefore, for each one of us, we shall also try to reach heaven and contemplate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Now that is the good news. But then, what is the bad news? Well, quite simply, we've got to try very hard now on earth to find something meaningful to think about when considering the deepest of all the mysteries of the Church. Well, to help me in this, my first thought was to turn to my usual crib, which is a book I've got of quotations and prayers. But I have to say, I drew a blank, because all it seemed to have was an appeal to praise and thank God for making himself known to us as the Blessed Trinity. And of course he repeated the words of the holy angels in heaven, repeating, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." So that's just a reference to the fact that there are three persons who are holy. Well, that's not going to be enough to fill out our 30 minutes. So my next port of call was to St. Thomas Aquinas. And here I have a book of his meditations. And he has a couple of meditations on the Blessed Trinity. Now, reading through them, I have to say that it was just a little bit involved, as you can imagine. And if I were to repeat everything that he said, you would be bamboozled as I was. However, before he finished his discourse, he said something which I think is helpful. He applied that principle, which is a steady principle of St. Thomas Aquinas, in all his teaching, where he says, if you want to understand something, consider the opposite, and then reverse the operation, and you get a greater sense of, greater understanding by looking on the opposite. So St. Thomas does, in his few words about the Blessed Trinity, he applies this procedure, and he considers the opposite of the persons of the Blessed Trinity, the three persons. How do we sin against each one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity? In this way, we find out what this sin consists in. We learn something about the actual person. So, for instance, it begins, we sin against the Father by doing things displeasing to our Father God. So if we disobey, we go against his will. This is how we sin, is against our Father God. Now how do we offend the Son? We offend the Son by going against our reason, by turning our back on him, refusing to know him, not having faith in him. So we offend against the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And how do we offend against the Holy Spirit? Well, obviously by ignoring his inspirations, by deliberately loving something useless, or something actually evil instead of good. Now, I decided at this point, here we can read out the relevant part of St. Thomas's own words. So here we go. He follows a slightly different order. He puts the, I think he puts the Father first. He says this, for a sin to be committed in three ways, it can be committed in three ways. Either from ignorance, or from passion, or from deliberate choice. From ignorance, when one is ignorant of those things, a knowledge of which would prevent the sinner from sinning. And then in brackets, which knowledge he could have acquired and should have acquired. So that looks like culpable ignorance. Then he continues, hence, that sin is, that kind of ignorance is there and then the cause of sin is present. This is said to be a sin against the Son. Secondly, one sins from passion on account of the force of the passion. The judgment and reason is destroyed. And this is proper. To sins committed from weakness of will, which is a sin against the Father. And then thirdly, a sin from deliberate choice takes place when man deliberately clings to sin. Not as if he were conquered by any special temptation, but because of sin, he has a corrupt appetite for sin, so that sin in itself pleases him. And this is to sin from malice, which is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Now let's try to follow this order of these words of St. Thomas. First of all, he puts culpable ignorance in the first place, which was the sin of the people of Palestine when Jesus Christ our Lord appeared amongst them. Now bear in mind, he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. In other words, he's God. But the people, seeing all the miracles, had to realize that our Lord was God. And this included the Pharisees. They knew quite well that our Lord was the Messiah and that he was actually God. But they, if you like, pretended not to believe in Jesus Christ. Because by knowing and believing in him, they would have had to accept his rebukes, how he was often revealing to them all their wicked and bad practices. And this they rejected because of their pride. So pride prevented them from believing in Jesus. And so he revealed their hypocrisy. Now, when he comes on to this reference of the sin of passion, this is best illustrated, in my opinion, by taking the example of persons or a person who has a vice, for example, of impurity. He or she knows what they are doing or what they're thinking about, reveling in impure thoughts or even actions. They don't stop because in their weakness, instead of turning to their Father God, who in his infinite power can completely eliminate their weakness and give them the strength to get over it, they turn away from the strength of the Father, their Father God. We all know through our divine filiation, our beloved Father God looks down on us sweetly, full of care, in us the strength to overcome all our weaknesses, all our bad habits, all our vices. And finally we come to see how all the sins that we commit against the Holy Spirit, and we remember from the Catechism what they are: obstinacy in sin, final impenitence, resistance to the known truth, despair and presumption. They all consist in clinging on to sin, not in spite of it being evil, but because it is evil. And that's why there's no forgiveness of sins against the Holy Spirit, because the actual sin is a firm clinging on and grasping of evil itself. So that tells us that the Holy Spirit is the personification of goodness and sweetness and love. So we are very clear why our turning away towards sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit. So this way of examining how we sin against each one of the persons reveals to us what each person represents. So for example, if a man is an habitual sinner, giving way to his passions on a regular basis, his sin consists, despite the fact that he realizes he is weak, he doesn't appeal to God, his Father, for the strength he needs to conquer his passion. So he goes against the power of God. So that's revealing to us that God the Father represents power. He knows God full well, how his Father God has the power to help him, but he fails to ask him. Similarly, when a person refuses to learn from Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life, he's the one who shows us the way to God and eternal happiness. He clearly isn't interested in the wisdom which reveals the way to happiness to him in Jesus. And he's got all those faults and stray sins which are going astray, deviating from the way. So in fact, he's closing his mind to wisdom, which he does when he turns away from Jesus Christ, who then personifies wisdom. Now, if you bear with me a minute, in one of our poems, Hoverings, which is Time is a Treasure, he says, our Father says, let no man ever eat fruit of you hereafter. Speaking about the victory that our Lord had cursed. And our Father says, hard words indeed. May you never more bear fruit. How must the disciples have felt, especially if they considered that it was the wisdom of God who had thus spoken. See, our Father knows instinctively that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So when person turns away from Christ, he's rejecting wisdom which Jesus Christ personifies. And then finally, when a person deliberately embraces evil because it is evil, he's rejecting the pure goodness and love which is the Holy Spirit. So then we see that God is the perfect unity of power, of wisdom, and of love. The three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now while we are still pilgrims living our life on this earth, God grants us the privilege and honour of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So this indwelling consists not just in knowing the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, but knowing the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God, which we have to embrace in our interior life, to appreciate the wonder and the splendor and the power of God. As we look around us in creation, not only the magnificence of the great extent and massiveness of the universe, but how God and his infinite power descends right down to the tiniest insects. The smallest elements of creation and are under his control, down to the tiniest atom and electron. And then we see the sun, who is full of wisdom. And we see how this wisdom leads him all the time to the perfect obedience of his Father's will, which marks out the way to reach eternal happiness. Do you remember when Jesus was lost and then found in the temple? He said to Our Lady, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I have to work according to the way mapped out by obedience to my Heavenly Father. And this is wisdom." And then finally, the Holy Spirit, we see there the sweetness and the love. We are drawn to God in his tenderness, an infinite burning love towards us. So we see that we are successively comforted by his power and enlightened by his wisdom and enthralled by his love. It's as if we could see God as a kind of triangular body with the three faces: power, wisdom, and love. And we contemplate those three faces, which are perfectly united in one, in such a way that if we look at the power, we see how it is full of wisdom, descending to the beauty of all the things in creation, especially in the creation of our own souls, with our freedom of will and our understanding. And it is united to the Holy Spirit, because the Father, at the same time as he's full of power, loves us so sweetly and tenderly, as he's united to the Holy Spirit. And then when we look at the wisdom of our Lord, we realize too how that wisdom is not just the way of showing us to heaven, but full of care, as belonging to a comforting, powerful God, corresponding to the characteristic, if you like, of the Father. And then finally, we see in Jesus his beautiful sweetness and tender care of every single person. How he dies on the cross with a burning love for all souls. So devotion to the Blessed Trinity consists primarily in remembering that we have to provide a warm and loving home to God in our souls, conversing with each one of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Now clearly, the best way to do this is to ask our Blessed Lady for the grace to remember the indwelling of the three persons, and to ask her with all our heart, Mother, teach us to know each one of the three persons, for you are, as our beloved Father reminds us in the way, Hail Mary, daughter of God the Father. Hail Mary, mother of God the Son. Hail Mary, spouse of God the Holy Spirit. Greater than you, none but God. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations you communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.